Welcome back to Mugside, your favorite place to nerd out about all things coffee. I'm James.
And I'm Hope. And today's episode, I'll admit, it's personal. We're not just talking about drinking coffee. We're diving into the real art of tasting it. You know, like the pros do.
This episode is for anyone who's ever looked at a bag of specialty coffee and seen tasting notes like juicy red currant or bergamot and thought, what? I don't taste any of that. You're not alone. I used to think flavor notes were just marketing fluff. But the deeper you go into the world of coffee, the more you realize that these nuances are real and anyone can learn to perceive them.
And it's not about becoming a certified Q grader, although if that's your goal, more power to you. But for the rest of us at home brewers, learning how to taste coffee like a pro is about developing sensory awareness. It's about slowing down and really noticing what's happening in the cup. You don't need a lab. You just need a curious palate and a little intention.
That's such a good point, Hope. It's funny how something as simple as tasting coffee, really tasting it, can ripple out into the rest of your life. I've found the same thing. When I take a few extra seconds to notice what's in my cup, I end up noticing more everywhere. The smell of fresh air on a morning walk, the way sunlight hits the counter while I'm brewing, even just the feel of my mug in my hands. It's like coffee teaches you to pay attention.
Exactly. And I think that's what makes coffee tasting feel like more than a hobby. It becomes a kind of daily meditation. You're not just chasing flavors, you're building awareness. And that awareness, for me, is what turns coffee from a habit into a ritual.
Right. And in this episode, we're going to walk you through everything. The sensory foundations of coffee, how to recognize flavors, what role aroma plays, how roast levels affect the final cup, and a simple way to build a tasting ritual at home. Plus, we'll talk about the mindset of mindful tasting, because spoiler alert, it changes everything. You know, Hope, that reminds me of the first cupping session I ever went to. I walked into this coffee lab thinking, I have no business being here. Everyone was swirling cups, slurping loudly, calling out notes like jasmine and stone fruit. And there I was, barely tasting anything beyond coffee. But after a few rounds, I realized it wasn't about getting it right. It was about slowing down, noticing, and trusting what my senses were telling me. It changed the way I approached coffee. And honestly, the way I approached a lot of things in life.
I love that. For me, tasting coffee with intention taught me to slow down in other parts of my day too. It's like when I'm focused on what's in the cup, I'm reminded to be present. And that presence carries into everything else, whether I'm working, cooking, or just going for a walk. So let's begin with the basics, sensory perception. Coffee tasting is a multi-sensory experience. When we talk about taste, we're really talking about a combination of aroma, flavor, acidity, sweetness, bitterness, mouthfeel, and even temperature. Professional cuppers evaluate all these things systematically, often using a scoring system that covers aroma intensity, flavor clarity, body balance, and aftertaste.
And you might be surprised to hear that our ability to detect flavors is heavily reliant on our sense of smell. In fact, around 80 to 90% of what we perceive as taste is actually aroma. That's why coffee tastes so bland when you have a stuffy nose. It's not just the taste buds on your tongue, it's your whole olfactory system working overtime.
Exactly. The SCA, the Specialty Coffee Association, teaches that aroma, acidity, body, and flavor are core pillars of coffee evaluation. And when we talk about aroma in coffee, we break it down into three stages: the dry fragrance of the ground coffee, the wet aroma during brewing, and the final scent of the brewed cup. Each of these reveals different aromatic compounds. There are over 800 volatile aroma compounds identified in coffee, by the way. That's more than in wine.
And here's something that helped me. I started practicing with things outside of coffee. Smell your spice rack. Taste different fruits mindfully. Learn to isolate sweetness, acidity, bitterness. It's like going to the gym for your palate.
Absolutely. I used to carry around a mini flavor wheel in my kitchen. And if you haven't seen the SCA's coffee flavor wheel, look it up. It's a beautiful rainbow-colored circle that breaks down categories like fruity, floral, nutty, sweet, and spicy into dozens of subcategories. When I was first learning, I'd brew a coffee and just try to match what I was tasting to the closest word on the wheel. It trained my brain to connect the dots.
Let's talk about identifying flavor in more detail. One of the biggest misconceptions is that these tasting notes are additives or flavorings. They're not. They're the result of where the coffee was grown, how it was processed, and how it was roasted. Take Ethiopian naturals, for example. They often taste like blueberry or strawberry jam. Not because someone added fruit, but because of the fermentation process during drying.
Exactly. Or think about a washed Colombian coffee. Bright, citrusy, often with a hint of caramel or panela sweetness. These notes are naturally occurring, and once you know what to look for, they become easier to spot.
Here's a stat that blows people's minds. Coffee has more aromatic compounds than wine, and the Global Coffee Flavor Wheel includes more than 100 descriptors. But in a typical cup, most people can perceive maybe 3 to 5 dominant flavor notes. That's plenty.
I like to tell people, start by asking yourself 2 questions. Is it sweet, and is it acidic? That's it. Sweetness and acidity are 2 of the easiest traits to identify, and from there, you can expand. If it's acidic, what kind of acidity? Lemon, apple, grape? If it's sweet, is it sugary, syrupy, honey-like?
And don't be afraid to write down your impressions, even if they seem strange. I once wrote that a coffee reminded me of graham crackers and lemon zest. And you know what? That was my genuine experience. The point is to tune into what you taste.
Oh, I love that. And the more you practice, the more confident you get. In describing what you notice, there's no wrong answer if it's honest.
Also, don't overlook texture. Mouthfeel can dramatically affect how we perceive flavor. Is the coffee silky, creamy, gritty, thin? That's part of the experience. And it's why some people prefer immersion methods like French press, which retain more oils and give a fuller body.
And now, let's get into aroma. Because honestly, your nose is doing most of the heavy lifting in a tasting session.
There's an amazing experiment that shows how aroma drives flavor. Researchers gave people jelly beans and asked them to plug their nose while eating. Without smell, people could hardly identify even basic flavors like cherry or banana. Then they unplugged their nose and boom, flavor returned.
Yes, aroma is powerful, and in coffee, it's constantly evolving. The dry aroma of freshly ground beans can be drastically different from the bloom aroma during a pour over or the bouquet of the finished cup.
Roast levels also affect aroma signatures. Light roasts tend to have floral and fruity aromas. Medium roasts offer nutty, chocolatey notes. Dark roasts shift toward carbonic, smoky, and even charred scents. None of these are necessarily bad. It depends on what you're looking for.
Here's a tip. Always smell your grounds before you brew. Stick your nose right in the bag or jar, then smell again during brewing. And finally, breathe in the finished cup. Notice how it changes with temperature, too. Some notes only reveal themselves as the coffee cools.
Also, if you want to boost your aroma vocabulary, get curious about the smells in your everyday life. Walk through a farmer's market and smell the peaches, the herbs, and the fresh-cut flowers. That kind of real-world training makes it easier to pick out those notes in coffee.
One of my favorite things is blind aroma guessing games. I'll put cinnamon, orange peel, vanilla, cocoa, even a little dirt, yes, dirt, into jars, and ask friends to guess with their eyes closed. It's hilarious, and it sharpens your sensory memory.
That's such a fun idea, Hope, and it really highlights how much of tasting coffee is about building that sensory memory bank. The more you expose yourself to different smells and flavors, whether it's spices in your kitchen, fresh herbs from the garden, or even a walk through a farmer's market, the more reference points your brain has when you're trying to describe a cup.
Exactly. I think people underestimate how much memory plays a role when you taste something that reminds you of childhood or a place you visited or a dish you love. That's your brain connecting the dots between the sensory experience and your life. And in coffee, those connections can make the whole experience more meaningful.
And here's the cool part. You don't need any special training for that. Every cup you taste, every time you pause to really notice an aroma or a flavor, you're building that memory. Over time, it becomes second nature. That's what professional tasters are doing too. They've just logged thousands of cups.
And you can start that journey today. Next time you're brewing, just take a few seconds to close your eyes and really smell what's in the cup. What pops into your mind first? Don't overthink it. That first impression is often the most honest.
Let's move into roast level impact, because this part is often misunderstood. People assume light roast equals weak coffee. Not true. Roast level influences flavor, but not strength. Strength is about the ratio of coffee to water.
Light roasts preserve origin flavors better, meaning you'll taste more of the unique terroir, the soil, climate, altitude. They often have higher perceived acidity and more fruit-forward notes. Think green apple, citrus, floral.
Medium roasts bring balance. The acidity softens, sweetness develops, and you might taste caramel, milk chocolate, or toasted almond. Great for people who want nuance without too much bite.
Dark roasts, meanwhile, emphasize roast character over origin. You'll taste more bitterness, smoke, and even notes like tobacco or leather. These are comforting flavors for some, overwhelming for others.
Statistically, about 65% of American coffee drinkers prefer medium to dark roasts. That's changing, though. As specialty coffee grows, more people are warming up to lighter roasts, especially when they learn how to brew them properly.
And it's fascinating. When you brew the same origin at different roast levels, it's like hearing the same song remixed. The melody's there, but the mood shifts.
Now let's help our listeners try this at home, because tasting doesn't require a lab coat. It just requires some intention.
Here's a simple home tasting setup. Brew two coffees, either different origins or the same origin with different roasts. Use the same method, say pour over. Same grind size, water temp, brew time. Eliminate variables.
Then pour both into cups. Label them A and B. Take notes. Smell them first. Then taste. Sip slowly. Ask yourself, what do I feel on the tip of my tongue? What flavors come through as it cools? Use a tasting journal or even just your phone notes app. Track your impressions. If you're consistent, you'll build a flavor memory over time. And we're excited to share that we're working on the Opaka Compass app. It's in development right now. It'll be a simple, intuitive way to log your coffee tastings, build your flavor profile, and even get recommendations that match your preferences. So stay tuned, because it's coming soon. And make it a ritual. Set aside 15 minutes on a weekend morning. Play a little music, light a candle. No distractions, just you and your cup. That's how you train your palate.
Coffee becomes a mirror. The more you bring to it, attention, curiosity, care, the more it gives back. That's what tasting like a pro really means.
Couldn't have said it better. And with that, we hope this episode gives you a fresh lens on your next cup. Whether it's your usual brew or something new, sip with intention.
And tag us when you discover something exciting. We love seeing your tasting notes. Next week, we're traveling to the heart of Africa's coffee heritage in a deeply flavorful episode.
See you then. Stay curious, sip slow, and savor the ritual.